Pentecost. Why did the Holy Spirit come? For what purpose did the Holy Spirit come? Was it necessary the Holy Spirit came? I mean, we had God the Father and all of his creation for us, his provision for us, his Holy Scripture for us, and we had Jesus Christ, his Son, who gave us redemption and salvation. What more could be given? We read in the opening sections of Acts, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would come upon them, and they would receive power, and they would be witnesses. For Jesus, the bottom line is this. The Holy Spirit was poured out for the purpose of empowering the church to witness. The Holy Spirit was poured out for the purpose of empowering the church to witness. I'm a fan of short, concise sermons, and I've already told you my main point. I mean, I could stop right there. Because instead of saying that and moving on to something else, sit on that and dwell on it. Not just say it and move on and say, well, I heard it. I'm not going to do anything with it. The Holy Spirit is poured out for the purpose of empowering the church to witness. Back in the Reformation era, Martin Luther, he's writing his catechism for helping the clergy and for helping families at home to learn Scripture. And he criticized the church leaders because they felt they could just sit down with a little book like a catechism or Scripture, sit down with it a day and feel like they've graduated from it. They know it. They can move on to something more intellectual, something higher up. He's like, no, you could spend a lifetime on just the first commandment. What does it mean to have no other gods and to love and trust in God above all things? You can't graduate from it. You can't move on from it. So this truth, the Holy Spirit is poured out to empower you to witness. Let that sink in and dwell. You've been given the Holy Spirit to do something. Think about the Pentecost story. As soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out, what did the disciples immediately begin to do? Speak, right? Acts chapter 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke. Also in chapter 4, all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, filled with the Spirit, goes to Samaria and speaks. Paul and Barnabas, filled with the Spirit, speak boldly. Paul, at the end of Acts, before kings and councils and Caesar himself, spoke. The Holy Spirit is given for you to speak, to witness what you know and have experienced about Jesus Christ. And why is it so important for the church to be doing so? Paul says it, the gospel is the power unto salvation. So when we're speaking, it brings life. It brings salvation. It brings Jesus. And if we're not witnessing, if we're not speaking, it doesn't bring life and salvation and Jesus. Except for last Sunday, this last month, we've been going through a video series of the book of Acts, seeing how the Holy Spirit has moved in the church and how it has grown from that tiny group in Jerusalem. Today, we're going to see the final part and then add some application to that. So we'll watch the final piece of that video now.
We've been exploring the book of Acts, which was written by a man named Luke as a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Acts began with Jesus telling his followers to spread the good news about his kingdom.
And they would start in Jerusalem, then go out into the neighboring regions, and from there to the ends of the earth.
Now, in Jerusalem, their message was received by many and opposed by many, especially by the leaders of the temple. They were scandalized by this new claim that the whole story of Israel had been fulfilled by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
One of these leaders was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who worked tirelessly to stop the movement. That is, until he met the risen Jesus himself. And this encounter transformed Saul from an enemy of Jesus into a herald of his kingdom.
And so for years, he traveled about the Roman Empire using his Roman name, Paul, starting Jesus communities all over.
And one of Paul's greatest desires was that all of these diverse communities would see themselves as one unified people, regardless of their differences, Jew or non-Jew, male or female, slave or free.
Jesus was creating one unified family of equals living together under his rule.
And this brings us to the final section of Acts. Back in Jerusalem, where the movement began, the Jewish followers of Jesus were suffering from a drought and food shortage.
And Paul was so passionate about the church's unity that he began a major fundraising project among the diverse churches he had started. They would pool their money together so he and a group of representatives could take it as a relief gift to Jerusalem.
But it's not safe for Paul in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders there dislike him so much, they want him dead.
And Paul knew he was walking into a trap. His friends all begged him not to go, but no one could stop him.
And why would Paul risk his life to bring this gift? Couldn't he have sent someone else?
Well, for Paul, this was personal. Jerusalem was where he used to participate in the murder of Jesus' followers, and now he gets to serve them. It's also where Jesus himself was executed, and so for Paul, it would be an honor to suffer there alongside his king.
Paul goes to Jerusalem, and as expected, he's found by his enemies. A mob forms, and they try to kill him, but Roman soldiers save his life by taking him into custody.
The Jewish leaders are accusing Paul of starting a revolt against Rome, but they can't prove it.
And the Romans don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, they can see Paul is not a criminal, but his claim that a crucified Jewish man is the risen king of the world, it keeps getting him into trouble.
And so Paul gets transferred from one court to another until he demands that his case be tried before the court of Caesar in Rome. And so they happily ship him off.
Now, throughout this section of Acts, Luke, the writer of the story, has portrayed Paul's trials and imprisonments so that they resemble his previous stories of Jesus' trials and imprisonment. Luke's making an important point. When the people of Jesus follow the way of Jesus, their stories will begin to look like his story, which is beautiful, but it also comes with a cost.
On the way to Rome, the boat carrying Paul is hit by a violent storm, and everyone freaks out.
Except for Paul. He's below deck hosting a meal, just like Jesus did the night before his trial. Paul blesses and then breaks the bread, promising that God is with them through this storm. And the next day, the ship hits and then breaks apart on the rocks, but everyone's washed safely ashore.
Which is amazing, but Paul's not out of trouble. He's taken to Rome and put under house arrest.
But it's not so bad. In his house, he can host groups of Jews and non-Jews, sharing with them the good news about Jesus, the risen king.
This is a bold move in Rome, the center of power where Caesar rules the world as king.
Yes, you have Jesus's alternative upside-down kingdom now growing in the very heart of the world's most powerful empire, all through the suffering of a prisoner. And with this contrast between kingdoms, Luke ends his story.
That's a great image, but the story's supposed to be about this message spreading to the ends of the earth. So shouldn't it continue?
Of course. Luke has left the story open-ended on purpose, so that his readers would know that the story isn't over, and that they can participate in Jesus' kingdom that is still spreading to this day.
The video said it for me that this Holy Spirit thing didn't end with the book of Acts. It kept going throughout history and still is happening today. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with each of the eighth grade confirmation kids and interview them, ask them just one question, as in, how do you see the Holy Spirit moving or leading you after confirmation? And they all gave beautiful answers. Unfortunately, when I went to go edit that video, I learned that my microphone gave out halfway through. So some of them you could hear, some of them you can't hear. So instead of making it unfair, I'll just share what I wrote down, what they said, instead of them being up on the big screen. They shared, how do you see the Holy Spirit leading and moving with you after confirmation? Some talked about moving deeper into the Word of God, deeper into devotional time, just simply spending time with God, which is, again, God dwelling with you. Some say letting their faith and the Spirit impact their everyday hobbies and as they move into their vocation in their future life. Some talk about being more involved in this place, being involved with mission and witnessing. Some talk about being leaders and helping out in this church. Some talk about just the Spirit simply helping them through life, helping them make big and small decisions alike. And then one person said they saw the Holy Spirit just simply leading them to life everlasting. All very beautiful and thoughtful answers. So we see the Holy Spirit didn't end in Acts, didn't end with the apostles. It didn't end with our forefathers. It didn't end with you. It's still moving and it's still working. So this Holy Spirit is just an additional gift. You've been given the gift of creation in the Father, the gift of salvation in the Son, and now you have this gift of the Spirit. And not a gift just to shrug off or comment how you want something better, but a gift that's just not a thing. It's not just some impersonal spirit feeling emotion. It is God himself, the Holy Spirit. He's in there to remind you of Jesus Christ, because you need Jesus Christ. Be reminded of his forgiveness each day, because we sin each day. We make mistakes. We get beat down every day, so he lifts us back up. He comforts us. And he also speaks Jesus' story again, so we realize the joy again, so that we are more motivated to speak that joy again. And then that Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. The Bible talks about it. The Holy Spirit is that down payment, a guarantee of what's still to come. Think about it like an engagement ring, a promise of something still to happen. So he's a gift, but a life-changing gift. Think of the disciples before Pentecost. Weeks before Pentecost, they were abandoning Jesus, they were denying Jesus, and now here they are in Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the crucified and risen King, boldly despite the danger against their life. And like I said, now we participate in this new and epic story, sometimes in crazy and unexpected ways that we would never imagine, and then sometimes in very simple everyday moments, just us gathered, praying and eating and worshiping together. So although we live in a different time and culture of Pentecost, the Pentecost story, the Spirit is still the same, the key parts are still the same, and the calling is still the same, to love one another, share in life together, and speaking endlessly, making disciples of all nation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit this day. We thank you for all that the gift entails, comforting us, advocating for us, leading us, dwelling with us. Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, we would not quench it, but use those gifts that you have given to us to speak and to serve in this community. Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest upon our youth and our confirmants as they go forth as members and adults of this congregation, that you would lead them into a deeper and deeper relationship with you and service for you. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would continue to be with us, continue to motivate us and reignite a strong faith in us. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would rest upon the church, that we be united in faith and united in service for this world. Lord, we need all the help we can get in these tasks that you set before us. And so we pray humbly the words that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I invite the ushers forward. Thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
We speak together and affirm God's plan for us as written in the bulletin. The Spirit thrusts God's people into worldwide mission. He impels young and old, men and women, to go next door and far away with the good news of God's grace. The Spirit goes before them and with them, convincing the world of sin and pleading the cause of Christ.
Let us sing the next hymn. It is, Lord, you give the great commission. It is found as an insert in your bulletin if you wish to follow along there.
Lord, you give the grace.
Would you please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed? It can be found on the back inside cover of your hymnal.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand.
As we prepare for a time of communion, we begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for letting us see and witness the Spirit's work in him, that you descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son at his baptism, and with your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptation of sin. By your Spirit, he was anointed to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Lord, by your Spirit, he healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. And then by his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivering us from sin and death. And then you made us a new promise by water and the Spirit. When Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Is on the day of Pentecost. Lord, in your Spirit, by your Spirit, be present now as we share in this meal together. Jesus took the bread, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." He also took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this always in remembrance of me." Dear Lord, bless this bread and bless this cup. Send your Holy Spirit to be with us. Be present with us. Amen. It's tradition here at St. John's to the communion after Confirmation Sunday to have First Communion with those newly confirmed. I will invite the confirmand and their families to come and line up here, and we will serve you communion first, and then you'll be the rest of us will be served where we are seated. So I invite confirmations, newly confirmed, and their families forward. Go forth now with the Holy Spirit, being witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take and eat. Thank you. Take and drink. Lord, we thank you for this meal as a reminder again of all the wonderful things you have done for us. We ask that you take these gifts to heart and go out and proclaim them to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand if you are able and let us sing our sending hymn. It is found on page number 301 in your red hymnal. If you wish to follow along there, the name of this hymn is Go Ye Into All the World.
Sending. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. Our benediction and our benediction song will be sung to you by video. I thought it appropriate, being Pentecost and the Spirit of fire in all the languages, a blessing sung to you in many different languages. So we listen to a blessing from our Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you.
Be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you.
Seu
Go forth in Christ's peace. Amen.